Hello there. Welcome to another episode of Exploring the Eighth House with yours truly, Miriam Slosberg. Now, dealing with death is one of the hardest things in life to ever cope with. However, when we lose a parent, it is a very painful experience, and becoming a widow or widower is also extremely painful to go through. However, losing a child, even in utero, is unthinkable. And the sad reality is that many parents will experience the death of a child regardless of whether the child has been born or not. So my guest today, her name is Dr. Ivy Margulies. She's a funeral director and a certified death midwife, also known as a bereavement doula. She has a private practice. Dr. Ivy Margulies has founded Angels Born Still, specifically focused on reproductive maternal mental health. She specializes in infertility and all types of pregnancy loss, including selective termination, abortion, miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant death. She facilitates several support groups, including a miscarriage group, a stillbirth couples group, and a pregnancy after loss group. She is the co-facilitator of the Global Return to Zero Holistic Healing Retreats for women who have had a stillbirth or infant death. Dr. Ivy Margulies has medical hospital staff privileges at Providence St. John's Hospital and is on call for any patients or doctor's needs if there is a stillbirth or fetal demise. She holds a monthly support group meeting for the labor and delivery and NICU nurses at the hospital. Dr. Ivy Margulies has over 20 years of experience working in family and child settings. She has been associated with UCLA's Child Study Center, Providence St. John's Hospital Child Study Center, Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and has been the staff psychologist for the Acacia Center for Integrative Medicine in Santa Monica. She is featured as a grief and parenting expert in kidsinthehouse.com. Dr. Ivy Margulies has presented at many conferences, written many articles on parenting, postpartum depression, and maternal bereavement, and has been the featured guest on several radio shows and television shows. And she also creates home funerals for stillborn babies. And I'd love to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Ivy Margulies. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thank you so much for coming on. It is an honor to have you. So I'm going to be asking you a few questions, if you don't mind. So I have to say I've never heard of a death midwife before. Could you explain what that is?
Yes. Well, death midwifery is basically taking back the way we used to care for our own dead and people who are dying, loved ones who are dying. Historically, we would comfort them and hold a vigil and hold sacred space for them while they died and help prepare and clean and perform ritual around death and dying. So death midwifery is also known as a bereavement doula if you're doing it with women who've had fetal losses, perinatal losses, or infant deaths. We help create sacred space.
Okay.
We hold the space for people who are dying or women who will be about who know that their baby has already passed and will be giving birth or have already birthed the stillborn baby, or if their baby has been put in the NICU and will not, you know, they have some condition that's not compatible with life. So,
right. Okay.
So how do you help the grieving parents and also anyone else in the room with them to hold that, you know, for everybody rather than do it with fear, regrets, you know, trepidation, misunderstandings, and helping to mitigate trauma. So
right,
to help
right.
by educating and by helping people understand what they might see or hear or feel, you're helping to prepare their minds for what they're about to experience. And it helps to, you know, I guess soften what they're about to experience. It won't be seen as as this horrible tragedy or this, you know,
right.
horrific event in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's understandable. Okay. Well, thank you very much for stating that and sharing that. So now my other question to you is, could you tell me what a home funeral is? I mean, this is something I have to say I really haven't heard too much about. So I'm sure a lot of people are wondering the same thing if they also haven't encountered one. So could you could you tell us about
that? They could look up more on the National Home Funeral Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
They can find that online. Again, you know, historically, we took care of our own dead. We laid out the dead, you know, could be on your dining room table.
Right.
We held wakes. We held funerals, memorials. And then we would shroud or cover the body generally and dig the hole in the backyard, you know, or up the hill or whatnot. Before
right.
the funeral industry came in and kind of started providing more of a quote-unquote service for people who, you know, had died and took care of dressing the body, embalming bodies, you know, coffins and cemeteries, things that kind of now we've been indoctrinated to believe that's kind of how things are after you die,
mm-hmm.
when in fact, no, you can have a home funeral. You can go back to taking care of this person that you loved very much yourself. And even there are now something called green burials where you can not put the body in a coffin, but instead wrap it, shroud it, and put it back into the earth in these very natural settings. And you can then locate your loved one through a GPS coordinate. That's another option. But home funerals are also about creating ritual and memorializing that loved one in your own home. And then if you do still want the traditional cemetery burial, of course, you can do that. If you want to then go on to the cremation, you can then do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also this other option, which is to also just return the body back to the earth as it came.
Mm-hmm.
So it reduces costs as well for people.
Right.
To instead have a funeral at a church or synagogue or a funeral home or a cemetery area, you can do it out of your home, and then
mm-hmm.
You know, it reduces costs over as well.
I would imagine. Sorry, I would imagine so. I would imagine it would be a lot less expensive to do a home
yeah.
funeral than to have one held at a funeral home or a church or a synagogue, etc. So I can certainly understand why that would be a lot cheaper to do.
Yes, more cost effective. Cemetery is very expensive, and generally there's a monthly or yearly fee to upkeep the plot.
Right,
so
right.
Maintenance for, you know, the gardener or, you know, watering the grass. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's why cremation is also very cheap compared to burial. You know, you don't have anything to upkeep.
Yeah, by the year 2020, about 70% of the population in the United States will be cremating. So
mm-hmm.
that shows you how much popular cremation
right.
is.
Right. Yeah, it's understandable because it is cheaper. You know, it's a lot cheaper. And I think a lot of people can't stand the idea of what happens to their body after they die, so they choose cremation.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, so I'm going to now that I've actually said that, this is going to lead me to my next question. So how can we get the conversation going in our society around death and dying?
Well, I think not to be afraid of it. We're all going to be
right.
there someday. We're all going
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we like to live our lives as if it's not going to happen, or certainly we don't offer a lot of opportunities to work with the aged, even aging people are put away now
yep.
in these homes. And when you do die, you usually get transported in these white vans that don't advertise at all that they have a dead body in them. It's very sterile.
Right.
Kind of
right.
sterilized death in our culture. And it's time to, you know, have a conversation. You know, I have no association to this game, but there's a game out that a card game, I guess, you can use at the dinner table to talk, that helps get the conversation going in a more playful way. I'm blanking on the name, of course, but it will come back to me.
Okay.
Anyway, but there are ways to just get, there's something called the five wishes. Talk about, you know, kind of what you hope, you know, do you want a funeral? Do you want a memorial? You know, to ask these questions, to
talk
about, you know, that the body does end up, you know, dying, for lack of a better word at the moment, done living is another way of saying. And it can happen at any moment. I mean, we think, you know, tomorrow's guaranteed, and it's not. I mean,
no, it never
it
is.
It could happen after we get off the phone. God, you know, hopefully not.
And, hopefully not.
But, you know, the it's important that you have written out or have discussed it with someone so that when you do die, it's not a big question mark or, you know, oh, we have no idea what this person wanted.
Right. Yes, it's important to have your wills drawn up and also to put your wishes in your will, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, not an easy, I mean, you know, it's not really, it's simple, but not simple. It's like, just, we need to start talking about it.
Right, yes. Yes, but, absolutely.
How to do that? You know, someone in the family or in your friendship groups or whatever, your circles, have to get brave and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
There are these things called death cafes popping up around the country in an effort to get the conversation going. And
interesting.
I think that's a nice way to go meet people in your community. You can hold one, actually. If you look up death cafe online, again, no association. These are ways to have, I think, dessert and coffee or something.
Oh,
around,
wow.
you know, inviting people over to talk about, you know, kind of what, how they see their death and what they hope for and what they would like done when they're dead. And
wow, that is very fascinating, because I don't know how many, I'm in Canada, so I'm not sure if I've seen any so far, but I'm sure there are some. That's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah.
I can certainly hold one. That's for sure. We can arrange like a...
you could start them in Canada for sure.
wow. Okay. Definitely. Okay. Very interesting. I think that's a brilliant idea. This way because the thing is, people shun it. They shove it under the ground or... under the ground. Oh, the Freudian slip there.
Oh, a little humor.
You know, that's the funniest. That's the funniest thing when that happens, when you make a pun and don't even realize it or mean it. Anyway.
Well, I'm also, you know, a clinical psychologist, so I won't analyze you on that. The card game's called My Gift of Grace.
Okay.
And so people can also look that up if they want. Again,
My Gift of Grace. Okay.
So they're loving all these plugs, whoever might be listening. But, My Gift of Grace, brilliant idea. Just these cards, you pick a random card, and it's, you know, think of the last time you got angry at someone you loved, and what did you do?
It's
a sample question to things like, what music do you want to be played the last day you're alive? Or if someone told a story about you at your memorial service, who would you want to tell it?
Yeah, okay.
So
interesting, okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, because, I mean, like I said, it really does need to be discussed a lot more than it is. And it's been hidden over decades.
Well, the irony is, not to go on a tangent here, but all the violence that we see in our media...
Yeah.
And all the movies and all the... It's okay to shoot people up, but, you know, God forbid you see nudity, sex, and death. You know, it's like, okay, violence is okay, but... So it's a really twisted message we get in our...
It society. Really is, yeah. Yeah. Now, I've heard... this is what I've heard. I've heard having a good, quote-unquote, good death. Now, could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. A good death is when you get the choice and have the wherewithal to be able to choose how and where you want to die, meaning you're not obviously dying in a car accident or natural disaster or a violent something. Anyway, so let's say you get a choice. You've got a terminal disease or just you're aging and, you know, the end is coming near.
Right.
It's about creating where you want to die. More people die than ever in hospitals. So if you can die at home, that's ideal, obviously.
Yeah, that can't always happen, though. I mean, the thing is, if you become extremely high needs, you know, you may not have a choice.
True,
but
we're talking about a good death. So a good death would be dying at home, hopefully, or dying somewhere you want to die. Having the music you want on, having the people there that you want, and being able to create a setting that is calm and peaceful and loving and compassionate.
Right.
So that you can really focus on your experience, going inward with yourself.
Right.
Psyche. And it doesn't hurt to die. People are afraid, oh, it's going to be painful. Your body takes care of you, and you will not feel pain. And your body will just start shutting itself down. Your breathing will change, your breathing pattern, the sound. But your hearing is the last sense to go. So
yes, I've heard that.
You will be aware of conversations.
Interesting.
Things people are telling you. Again, the music that's being played. So everything, you know, your sensory experience as they shut down, but the hearing is the last to go. So being able to create that for yourself so it's as comforting and loving as it can be would be a good death.
Okay. Now, the reason I said about the being so high needs that you can't stay at home is because I'm, you know, my mother-in-law wanted to die at home. Like, that was her wish. But it got to a point where my brother-in-law just can't care for her, and she had to go to the hospital, and it got very expensive for care. So, you know, it's not always an ideal situation, even if that's what you want. Yeah.
She wasn't ready to go. Is that what you're saying, too?
At that point, no. I mean, at that point, nobody knew. Nobody knew that she was going to. She ended up going within a week.
Huh.
So, anyway, unfortunately.
Now, some circumstances like that, maybe something was, I don't know, you know, again, miscommunicated, or the doctor could have said, look, she doesn't have long anyway. You know, we can transport her back to the house.
Right.
Do you have hospice in Canada?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you could have had hospice at the house or his house.
Right. Yeah, no, you know what, come to think about it, she wasn't technically dying, but things just turned,
okay.
You know what, this was a blur.
Yeah, obviously, unfortunately, you don't know. You don't know. And you think you're doing the best thing for them in the moment. And you are. Because that's all you know.
That's all you know. That's right.
No guilt or anything. I mean, you know, it's too bad. You know, there wasn't a way to figure that out. But sometimes you can't. You know, you just can't.
Sometimes you can't.
So you can have
a
good death at a hospital. I mean, you can ask.
Absolutely.
That machines be disconnected, and that the you know, no intervention, no more interventions. You're going to light candles, play music.
Right. Very true.
Them,
very true. Make the best of what your situation is, right?
Exactly. You can create a very calm, beautiful setting in a hospital.
Right. You absolutely can.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
now, I'm also going to...
I want to add something really important. No one should feel rushed. The body is not going to, I think you and I spoke about, the body is not going to decompose in front of your eyes. It's not going to blow up. It's not going to start spurting out all these fluids. The body is fine, even for 3 days, with ice packs. You do not, again, back to the home funeral, you can just keep the body at home for 3 days with ice packs, dry ice packs underneath the body. and keep the room that it's in as cool as possible.
Right. Sure.
There is absolutely no reason to rush or feel like once they're dead, oh my God, you know, call someone quick to take the body away. I mean, there's no. You can slow down. There is absolutely no rush. Same with babies. There is no rush. No one should feel like they only have an hour with the baby. I mean, if you want 3 days with your baby, take the 3 days. Some people take the baby home. I've actually helped families do that.
Right.
I've handed the babies, their deceased infants, to them in their car at the hospital so they could drive home with their deceased baby. And I teach them how to take care of the ice packs and then do the home funeral. I help with the home funeral the next day or 2 days later, whatever they need to get enough friends and family, you know, to get there if they're out of town or whatnot. And beautiful service at the house. But again, slowing it all down, there's no rush. The body is not going to, you know, do anything weird in front of you.
Well, that's actually very I could see that. I can see why a lot of people would panic. Now, after 3 days, no good, though, right?
Well, after 3 days, you'd probably want to start thinking either embalming if you do want to keep the body longer.
Right, yes.
You know, usually 3 days is acceptable, enough time, you know.
Right. Okay.
If you need more time, you can ask the funeral director you're working with, you know.
To embalm, right.
Or to embalm or do more of a deeper refrigeration. But you'd have to go then to the funeral home to see the body.
Right.
But there's also something called witness cremation. So if people want to actually press the button on the furnace for the cremation, you know, watch the body go into the retort, they can actually be there for that as well.
Well, it's really good to know there's all these options that a lot of people probably didn't even realize. So I'm going to ask you as well, what is the importance of ritual around death?
Well, ritual around death is it helps people heal. It helps integrate the experience that your loved one is no longer here. It it helps memorialize your loved one in a way that you would like, whether that's, you know, writing a story, poetry, taking, you know, putting something on the body that you know that means something to you. It could be a necklace or something in their pocket, putting a letter with them before they're cremated or buried, that no one else has to read. You know, it's about helping you to process the death, and as time goes on without that loved one, knowing that you did or gave or were with the body or did something to help you process and move forward in your life without that person.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that, because, you know, people have probably wondered, okay, what's the point? But then when you think about it, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, the thing is, if you didn't have any kind of ritual, there wouldn't be the right, you know, the healing wouldn't happen. Not so, I don't want to say easily, because it never is easy.
Right.
But it just wouldn't happen. You know, there would be no sense of closure.
Right. Closure is a tricky word, because you don't really. You just want to feel like you did or said what you wanted to. And you know, some religions also have ritual. So they're a way to help also honor the person in a more religious way as well.
Right.
So whether that's, you know, sitting Shiva, if you're Jewish, you know, or I think Catholicism, you know, making sure that the body goes to heaven or the soul goes to heaven. You know, there's so many other ways as well that people look for ritual within their community.
Yes, yes. Okay. Now, are there any last words you want to say as we're coming towards the end?
Last one. I'm not dying.
Here we go. I didn't even realize that either. Really, I didn't. This is actually turning into a comedy without meaning to. Oh,
oh
boy.
A little levity doesn't hurt, right?
Right.
But, you know, I should also add, you know, sometimes ritual can mean, you know, playing the music that person loved at the funeral or the memorial.
Oh, yes.
It could be about bringing the food. Food is a very, you know, can be a very
A
big thing. Color, integrating a certain kind of color, integrating some sort of, I don't know, theme. A theme in the ritual is oftentimes very comforting as well. Like knowing that person would have liked that or wanted that, or you know, different traditions around the world might paint their faces or dance a certain kind of dance. I mean, it's really as individual as the person, and it's nice when you can make the memorial or funeral, you know, as something as unique as they were. I mean, there are funerals where people are dancing. You know, it doesn't have to be this somber, sad, you know, tragic thing. It can be a time of celebrating this person's life. And I think it would be nice if we could turn kind of our traditional and societal, I don't know, the kind of way we're brought up to believe that funerals have to be these somber, you know, no smiling kind of things to, like, no, let's enjoy, let's, like, what kind of jokes did this person like? Or how
Right, definitely.
Let's laugh around the coffin or laugh around the ashes or, you know, do something different and unique that is actually joyful. Because I think this whole idea that death is somehow this huge negative downer, it doesn't need to be. It really doesn't need to be.
I mean, a lot of people do think it is. I mean, it is, you know, when a loved one dies or a good friend dies or someone who was very close to someone who you cared about dies. I mean, it's not a laughing event, that's for certain. But you know what? When you think about it, what would you want?
I'm not saying it's laughing, but I'm just saying it runs the gamut.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, you've got to think about would you want people to be sad? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I'd rather have my life celebrated.
Yeah, I'd rather have the life celebrated, definitely.
So think about what you'd want, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is probably what the deceased would have wanted, too. Maybe they didn't state it at the time, but you have a really good point.
There's absolutely a place for sadness and all of that, but there's also a place for joy and the gifts you receive from that person's life.
Right, right. Okay. All right, so Dr. Ivy Margolis.
Hello?
Yep, I'm here. How can people get a hold of you?
Oh, okay, I didn't hear you for a little bit. There was a glitch. Okay.
So how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Now I heard you better. Well, I'm in the United States. I'm in Los Angeles, California, specifically in Santa Monica, California. You can reach me through my website, which is www.drivymargulies. I'll spell that D-R-I-V-Y. MARGULIES.com. And I believe you're going to put that on your site as well.
Yes, I will.
That's probably the easiest, especially if you're out of the country. I'll leave it at that, unless you want my phone number.
Well, actually, what's your social media links, if you have?
My Twitter is at Dr. Ivy Margulies, and my website that I just gave is the best way to reach me.
Okay. All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ivy Margulies. It was a real honor to have you, and boy, did we talk about some things that really need to be spoken about.
Yeah, Yes, thank you for inviting me on your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. Okay, so you have yourself a great rest of the day, and everyone, you be well. Take care.